welcome to Freedom Flare Co. podcast. I am your host, Joey Page. At Freedom Flare, we elevate the American spirit, enrich American traditions, and celebrate family. So welcome home. Today, we are talking all things national parks, from sea to shining sea, the glory, the great unifier to all Americans is the great outdoors. There are over 400 national parks, if you can believe that. And we'll take a little journey. I'll give you a little history about the National Park Services. We're going to talk a little bit about some fun personal experiences I've had at the crown jewel of national parks, Yellowstone. I'll give you some camping tips and tricks today, and then we'll close it out with some really great traditional ideas and fun activities for you to take with your family and your kids as you guys go out there and try to explore all 400 of those beauties. So let's dive in, shall we? The historical side. Who would I be to not share historical information, right? So getting into it, dating back to 1872, Congress established Yellowstone National Park in the territories of Montana and Wyoming as, quote unquote, a public park or pleasuring ground for the benefit and enjoyment of the people. So they placed this management of Yellowstone under the control of the Secretary of the Interior. And what's really incredible about this moment in history in 1872 was that this began a worldwide national park movement where today, more than 100 nations contain 1,200 national parks or equivalent preserves. Really incredible stuff. I love this country. Look what we've done for the good of the world. It's pretty amazing. So this is where it gets kind of interesting. In the years following the establishment of Yellowstone, the United States authorized additional national parks and monuments. Many of them were carved from the federal lands of the West. These were also administered by the Department of the Interior. However, there were other natural and historical areas that were administered by the War Department and the Forest Service that fell into the Department of Agriculture. So there really almost at one point were too many cooks in the kitchen, and there wasn't a single unifier until we flash forward to 1916, President Woodrow Wilson signed the Organic Act. This act created the National Park Service itself, a new federal bureau that did forever fall in the Department of the Interior. So completely responsible for protecting all parks and monuments that we know and love today. Really a lot of amazing things to be so happy about. And national parks are beautiful. If you guys have been to one, if you've been to two, three, four, it's addictive because they're just incredible. What we've done for nature, it's been a great thing to save it for generations to come, right? So if we flash forward to the most recent big win for national parks, it came under President Donald J. Trump, who signed the Great Outdoors Act. That act revitalized current parks to be accessible to everyone while also protecting land and water resources for years to come. So what an opportunity for all of you. And now you know a few little pieces of history to take with you as you explore which park you're going to go visit. So before you figure out where you want to go, I want to highly encourage you all to go to National Park Services, NPS.gov, where you can find and research all of these 400 plus parks that are available to you and at your fingertips. Now, another site is recreation.gov. And that one's great because it'll help give you a good gauge on when you need to make a camping reservation if you want to go and stay a couple nights, because a lot of these places are popular. Everyone wants to see everything all at one time. And so some of them do lotteries. Some of them will just tell you, hey, on X day, this is when you're going to want to go online to reserve your campsite. Some of them could be just luck of the draw where you show up and hope you get lucky. But if that's where you're going to go, then be prepared that and hope that there's like a hotel down the road, because no guarantees there if you're not going to make a reservation these days. So I'm going to share with you an incredible couple of stories that I have from two of my favorite parks. So the first one is Yellowstone, the crown jewel of America. And I consider it the crown jewel because the wildlife activity is just unlike anything you will ever experience in your entire life. Within a 1 mile trail, you will see elk, you will see prairie dogs, you will see bison, you will see wolves, you will see bears, black bears, brown bears, grizzly bears. They are all there and they are out and about. You are truly amongst the kings of nature, and you are there to be a guest. Let's make that very clear. We are guests in their environment. So be smart about your surroundings as you go visit these things and be respectful of the environment. So here's my story. We, I was 7 years old and my family, I have my mom, my dad, my two sisters. We pack up the Dodge Caravan with the woodside panels. And this thing was packed to the brim with camping gear, you know, hanging low rider to the ground. And, you know, we head out to Yellowstone road trip, incredible road trip. And we get there and the highways out in, when you're actually in the park, are two lanes. So you've got one car going this way, the other car is going the other way. And it's great for sightseeing. Everybody goes very slow, so you have an opportunity to stop and take pictures of the animals as you're going. And we happen to be there, beknownst to us, in late July, which happens to be during bison mating season. So there you go. There's another fact for you. July to August happens to be bison mating season. So the bison during this time are extremely, the males are very sensitive. They can get very violent very quickly because they are all about their territory so that they can, you know, continue to mate and breed. So we are going down one of these roads and a bison actually decides to cross right in front of our car. And you can imagine my mom was freaking out. It was a very Jurassic Park moment. Don't look the animal in the eye. Don't move. My mom literally is having a heart attack. Meanwhile, my dad picks up the camcorder and starts going at it, recording this whole experience. So it's, caught on tape and we could watch it back another time and really like just be in awe at a bison crossing right in front of us. These things are massive, bigger than the Dodge Caravan. So we're waiting patiently and the bison decides to stop right in the middle of the road. And on the other side of the highway, you know, the single lane roads, is a green like 1980s truck. And he's waiting there, but his patience had been tried after about 10 minutes of waiting. And this guy decided to honk his horn at the bison to get him moving, which was a very, very bad idea, you guys, because the bison looked this dude in the eyes and rammed that truck like no tomorrow. You could see the green liquid coming from his radiator and you just knew the car was totaled. So that was wild. And the whole thing caught on camera. And so the bison eventually, you know, carries along on his way. And it was just one of the most incredible experiences to see that. And the best part about that is we have no idea where that tape is. No clue, never got it out to National Geographic, never made it to a wild animal show. But I got to tell you, you've heard it now and it put it into existence that it happened. Now, another incredible story happened to us on the same trip. We were passing this meadow and we decided to pull over and there were some picnic tables to have a nice little lunch out in the beautiful Yellowstone parks. And there was another family at a picnic table next to us also doing the same thing. And we kind of heard a little rustle in the bushes, didn't think much about it, thought it could have been like some squirrels or birds or something. But out came a gigantic gray wolf. And this thing, I will say in hindsight, you could tell had been exposed to people before and it looked like he was definitely trying to beg for food or like kind of could smell the food and wanted to know, get a free meal. What is unfortunate is a lot of people don't think twice about it and think this and don't realize the snack in their hand may be great, but they are actually the meal ticket for the wolf, you know, themselves. So that was a really scary moment, though, because the wolf was very much like just kind of like staring at us, stalking, like, are we going to give him food? Not kind of thing. Of course, our family was like, absolutely not. We're not going to give this wolf food. So we very slowly by the direction of our parents got up, started walking backwards to the car so that our back would never face the wolf. We never made eye contact with the wolf, but we're looking down and walking backwards very slowly and calmly. Meanwhile, the family next to us kept going and fed the wolf. And we took off. Thank gosh that other family was there because I don't really know how that whole situation could have gone down if it had been a different predicament. But that was by far one of the most intense experiences and brushes with wildlife in the open, no car to protect you, nothing I've ever had. So just Yellowstone, full reminder, is just one of those places where you will interact with these animals, you will encounter them, you are on their space, and it's an incredible experience to go see them. I highly recommend you all get out to Yellowstone. Now, the other park I want to share today is Yosemite National Park in California. And the reason being, it is just chock full of geographic wonders, including the infamous Yosemite Falls. This park gets packed every summertime, so be prepared to be patient and definitely be prepared to visit recreation.gov to make sure you book a lottery ticket to get a campsite for your family so that you can really enjoy that experience. Now, what I love the most about Yosemite is a particular trail called the 4 Mile Trail. You take a bus to the very top of this place called Glacier Point, and that is exactly what it is. It's overlooking all of Yosemite Valley. You can see from far across the Yosemite Falls. And what you can do is when you're at the top, you just simply descend down this 4 Mile trail. It's a bunch of switchbacks left to right to get to the bottom. And it is just such an experience. I would never recommend ascending it. Some people do, you know, you start at the valley base and you go up. But if you have little kids with you, that's not exactly ideal. Now, a fun story about that particular trail I can share is I have a friend of mine, a gal pal I was hiking with, and she was over the trail. Let's put it like about a quarter of a mile of the trail left and we're going down, and she just did not want to participate anymore. And so instead of continuing down the switchbacks, she literally just beelined straight down the mountain, which was very dangerous, but also the funniest thing I have ever seen in my entire life. Somebody just being like, you know what? I'm just done with this hill, and just coasting down to the valley floor on their derriere, sliding down like it was no tomorrow, like a little slip and slide down the mountain. It was just the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'm not telling you guys to do that, but I suppose if you're really, truly over it, you know, someone did it and they didn't die. Just be smart, be mindful of your surroundings and watch out for like animals and critters and whatnot on your way down. But camping, there's great lower pines, upper pines, and then, oh, the Tuolumne Meadows are just spectacular. Great places for you guys to take the kids and family and have an incredibly memorable experience. So those are some particular parks to check out for sure. Now, I'm going to share with you some top-level camping tips, tricks. This is the moment where, now, if you visit my site, freedomflareco.com. I've got an entire whole list of, you know, food items you should be bringing, your everything you want to be camping, the necessities, and a little bit more for the glampers out there, with which I am one, by the way. Listen, my makeup is coming with me everywhere I go. And like, if I have to meet the face of death by way of grizzly bear, I'm going to look fabulous at the pearly white gates when I meet Mr. Jesus, because I had my makeup done. I felt fresh on my way out the door up to heaven. Okay. So for the glampers out there, high five. I hear you. I see you. I feel you, and live your life. So, the tips I'm going to share are just from experience and things I don't see and notice a lot of other campers bring that I think would just make their adventures a little bit easier. So the first tip, you're going to be a little bit weirded out by this one, is meat tenderizer. Absolutely bring that with you. And it's not just to, you know, season your meat with on this journey. Meat tenderizer is a really great way to soothe bee stings. You are going to be out there camping, and sometimes that campfire with the picnic table combo with the smoke isn't going to be enough to get rid of those yellow jackets, those bees, those wasps. And if you do get stung, you don't want it to ruin your trip. So bring the Benadryl with you. But meat tenderizer is really a great solution for helping soothe those stings and kind of bring that swelling down. It's just a great thing to take with you wherever you think you might be going where there could be bees, by the way. So take that little snack with you in your back pocket next time you go somewhere for a picnic excursion. The other tip that may sound kind of stupid, but is quite relevant, are hiking boots. We all go out to the great outdoors to hike, not just sit around the campfire all night long. And, you know, hiking during day, campfire by night, right? Hiking boots are really important because let's say you happen to be out there in the wilderness and you step right into the safety space for a snake. And the snake is coming at you and he decides to bite you. And it's not because he's looking for a snack. He's not going to eat you, but he's scared. He doesn't want to get squished. He says, hey, this is my territory. Bah, bah, I'm going to come bite you. Hiking boots are made to prevent penetration from any poisonous snakes. So that is the first thing. It'll also be great for like it helps reinforce ankles so that you don't, you know, sprain anything on your hikes. But I want to get back to the snakes. So if you ever do happen to be in the circumstance where a snake breaks through a shoe, I'm going to give you some tips right now. First of all, do not try to suck the venom out. You're going to ingest the venom by doing that, and you're going to be sick. And now there will be two people going to the hospital trying to seek anti-venom. So that's a whole misconception. I don't know where that ever came from, but there's that. Number two, do not try to run down the mountain. If you are the one who was bit, the more you use your body and exercise and do quick movements, the more the blood will be pumping through your every single moment of a part of your bloodstream and allowing the venom to get everywhere and anywhere all at a quicker time. So you are not necessarily helping yourself as far as buying time to get the help you will need to seek out the anti-venom. The third thing is, a lot of people might think, well, if I tourniquet, you know, the knee and try to keep the venom just to this one centralized area, very big no-no. That will also not help you either, because now you are allowing the venom to hyper-focus on one specific area. And so depending on how long it could take to get you down that mountain or down that trail to seek help, you are now killing scar tissue. You are killing cells in that particular, you're hyper-focusing the venom in an area to do as much damage as possible. So I'm sure you probably never considered that. And now you'll probably be thinking about that every time you go for a hike. And you should be. You've got to be very aware of these things. So the last tip about snake bites is look and pay attention. If you get bit, pay attention to what type of snake it was, because snake DNA and like the which snake it was matters in the type of anti-venom you will receive. So just try to pay attention. I know it's a scary moment, but if you can get a picture of the snake or pay attention to like how to describe it so that you know, and you can get the correct medical attention in that regard as well. The biggest tip is, I will say, if you can't forget all these things, if you get bit by a snake, stay calm. Try not to move in as least a way of possible. Just don't be quick about your movements. Try not to get the blood flowing in your body. Be as slow as you can to prevent the venom from making its way through your body. All right, how fun was that? So hiking boots, guys, full circle. Hiking boots to save the day. Another camping tip and trick I've got for you guys is blue tarp. Tarp is a great thing for overcoming the most unexpected storm you could imagine. It's great for your base. Bring two tarps, one blue tarp for your base to protect the integrity of the ground of your tent where you put the tent. And then having another tarp for the top of your tent. So if a storm does hit, yes, many tents are waterproof. I know this, you guys. But the blue tarp will also try to just add that extra layer of coverage from, goodness forbid, anything happen to your tent in that circumstance. So there are many more tips of what to bring, what to eat, what to pack for your actual camping gear that, you know, you can visit my site again, freedomflareco.com. So, but now I kind of want to slip into my favorite part of this segment, which is the activities with your kiddos to create those lasting memories. So let's say you go on the most epic hike ever. You go to Yosemite, you do your 4-mile hike and you're just having the time of your life, but you get home and now you know to your site and you know, I got to start preparing the dinner. I've got to get the fire going to prepare for the nighttime. And your kiddos are wanting to run around like crazy and you want to kind of keep an eye on them. Treasure hunts. Treasure hunt, treasure hunt, treasure hunt. It is such a fun way to explore the wilderness, to be engaged with your environment around you. Kids love a good treasure hunt. Come up with some ideas that you know will be there, like pine cones, or, you know, go find 2 pine cones and go collect one stick that has moss on the north side of the tree. I don't know, but get creative. Look at your surroundings, create a list of things for your kids to gather. And then once they find everything, you can reward them at the end. And it doesn't have to be some sort of toy you're rewarding them with, but it could be hot chocolate at the end. It could be, you know, a s'more that you guys will have for dinner that you celebrate with, or popcorn or something fun like that. Really a fun way to engage your kids, and also buying mom and dad some time to unwind and prepare for those meals before or after those hikes. Now, my ultimate favorite thing, and it's all what camping is about, right? Those, that quality time that you're spending with your family and those stories you're going to share around the campfire as that sun sets and dusk comes out, a game called Elmer. Elmer, that's right. Elmer. So as that sun is setting, it takes one person to yell out the name Elmer and just sit back and watch the entire campsite repeat and yell it out loud. And I kind of wondered where this came from. I did this growing up, but I never knew where it came from. And it turns out that it's a story about a friendly bear from Yosemite named Elmer that kids came to know and love, kind of like a Smokey Bear vibe, where it just helped promote the park. It helped promote keeping it safe and clean for all those animals there, even though we're the special guests. So calling out the name Elmer pays homage to that friendly bear, and all the neighbors get into it. So we love that at the campfire time. Now, once that sun has set, and it's, you know, all dark out, the bats are out. Yeah, I just love a good bat. Like, I know they're creepy in the whole, but they're just so cute. The little ones. Anyway, so if you think that's a bird up there at night sky, you guys, that's a bat. It's probably a bat. But anyway, when you're looking up and eyes to the sky and you see those bats, if you can just break through the bats and you just see nothing but that gorgeous, gorgeous night sky full of constellations galore, planets, stars, everything. The world is your oyster. This is your moment, parents. This is your moment to embrace your fourth grade solar system knowledge. Or if you maybe took undergrad astronomy, bust it out. Where did you go to class? If you went to class, bust out the knowledge. And if you didn't, I've got a solution for you. On your phone, there is an app called the Sky View app. You download it, you can open it anywhere you are in the world, and it will show you, you point it anywhere you point this phone, show you the constellations, it'll show you where the planets are. So you can really, you know, point out and be correct about the stars you're looking at if you kind of maybe forgot some of that knowledge. But you can then just go at it with the storytelling. Talk about the planets. Talk about Orion's belt. Talk about Aries. Talk about the North Star. You know, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, everything. Just, you know, have the most epic time ever teaching your kids about the universe, the great beyond. It is one of the most magical memories that kids will never forget. When we talk about core memories with your children, with your families, with your friends, you know, just really take the time to put those eyes to the sky and enjoy all of that. So that kind of wraps up my camping traditions, a couple of them. I have many more on my site if you visit freedomflareco.com that you can find. And what I would love more than anything, though, is to hear from you. What are your epic tales? Like, do you have a crazy bison ramming the truck story? That, or do you have, can you one-up me? I would love a one-up on that one. Or do you have a recommended favorite park and, you know, a hike that you could tell our community about? Do you have some traditions like Elmer or stargazing or treasure hunts that you want to share to the Freedom Flare community? I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me at admin@freedomflareco.com. Until then, I hope that you guys enjoyed our time here where we elevated the American spirit, we enriched American traditions, and we certainly celebrated family. Freedom Flare Co. guys, catch you next time.